broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, live every night here from the El Pacifico. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they ain't got the guts. Now we have...
You gotta explain that.
I ain't gonna explain nothing. The audience understands, and the guys that I'm talking about, they know what I'm saying is true, but it's all love. It's all good. Anyway, welcome to the program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I'm getting better with the national number. We did our local show on Saturday night, and I only busted out the national number one time, bud.
Getting better.
I am getting better. And by the way, on our website, philhendryshow.com, if you were to scroll over there tonight, you would see, actually wouldn't see it right now because we have some, we have the wrong graphic up, but just underneath the graphic that we have up is a pitch to visit our website. And in so doing, you will actually pitch our shop, our souvenir shop. And in so doing, you will have an opportunity to buy for the Phil Hendry fan in your family. So just head over to the Phil Hendry Show shop. We have a selection of hats and shirts and coffee mugs and shot glasses and our legacy CDs, which are a limited edition. So by all means, head over there and pick up a gift for the Phil Hendry fan in your life. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And we're going to be bringing on the line here in a moment Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who was, I believe, attending a father-daughter function at his daughter's school. It wasn't a father-daughter function, right?
No, it was a men's club. It was like a family night for the school.
Family night for the school. He was doing some comedy?
Yeah, doing a stand-up comedy.
And we're going to find out what happened there, because I understand there was a question of taste as to one of the jokes that he told. Now, leading into this entire folderol is the story at Penn State, which is as bizarre. And, of course, these stories, they sort of top each other for their just for the difficulty we have to comprehend them. But this story out of Penn State, where one of the football staff, a defensive coordinator for the football team, has been charged with the sexual molestation of children. In one incident, this is an allegation, this man, Mr. Sandusky is his name, Coach Sandusky, what's this guy's first name? In any event, this guy is alleged to have forced a boy as young as 10 to have sex with him in the shower at the football complex on campus in 2002. Now, two top Penn State officials have quit their jobs. They were charged on Monday with covering up the sexual abuse scandal that has tarnished the reputation of Joe Paterno.
Why is that going to do anything to Paterno?
Because Joe Paterno's at the top. He's the coach. And when you're the coach, you're the guy that runs the show. You're supposed to know, man. Athletic director Tim Curley and top finance official Gary Schultz appeared in court charged with failing to tell police about the alleged sexual abuse of young boys by an assistant football coach, even though they knew about it for years. They also were accused of perjury before a grand jury probing the scandal. The charges at face value are disturbing, to say the least, District Judge William Wenner said. All right, and now I don't even know if Joe Paterno has weighed in on this, but I can tell you something. It is a very, very serious, serious set of circumstances. And, of course, what we're talking about here, folks, is a serious set of circumstances having to do with, in the case of Joe Paterno, a revered, longtime football coach, as well as a very revered, longtime, respected football program and a school, one of the top universities in the country, Penn State University. Stephen Bozell, sir, how are you?
Yes, Mr. Turner, doing very fine. Thank you for having us on.
And I understand you're in transit back home tonight, huh?
Yes, sir, we are. I'm with my son, Stephen Jr. We're coming back from San Diego, where he's been helping me do a job. I'm a construction contractor. I got my son right along with me.
And are you good ways from home? Are you okay to be talking?
I'm ham-free, and please don't. My son is... This is very sensitive. Yeah, it's a very sensitive topic, but I wanted my son to hear it because I feel it. It's important for young people to know that there are people in the world
Well, now, see, I might have a problem. Do you have your sons listening to the radio right now?
Yes, sir.
We're going to be getting into some things I don't know whether a child should hear.
Well, I mean, if it does that, I'll have them turn the radio off. We can do that. I'm hands-free on the headset here, and I can certainly do that, or have him, turn it down, or however you want to do that.
Okay, sir. I think that would be a good idea, and I'll leave that to your good judgment as a father, but I don't know that this is a topic you're going to want him to hear a lot of, because there are some very specific things here.
Yes, sir, but the reason why I'm on your program is my understanding that I did talk to this gentleman, Mr. Dickman, say he won't say to me, I talk, be good.
I didn't hear that. Say that again?
I'm sorry. I said that Mr. Dickman told me that it would be good if I talked about what happened to me with Eric Norton and the parents' day that we had over at my daughter's school at CK Corona.
Yeah, well, my understanding is, sir, it was a parents' night and there was a parent talent show.
Yes, sir.
And you did a stand-up comedy act?
Well, that's what I do with some of the different parent functions we do. I do, a lot of parents like to sing and some of them will tell stories and everything. I do comedy. And I told and when I say comedy, I do just jokes. And I told a joke on this Penn State. And at no time did I mention anything having to do with sex. At no time did I mention anything having to do with anything very specific. At no time did I endorse or condone this terrible activity. Quite the contrary, I'm a father of a boy and of a young daughter, and as well as a husband. At no time did I say, well, I think the Penn State sex abuse scandal.
By the way, I hate to call these things sex abuse, you know?
Yes, sir.
Because this is the assault of a child. And when we drop the word sex into it, I suppose what we're saying, it was the assault sexually of a child, the same way that we see this when a woman is sexually assaulted, or anybody. But it gives, when we say it's a sex abuse, it's just the vicious assault of a kid using sex. So, for the purposes of what we're talking about on the program, let's just talk about child abuse.
I'm with that, Mr. Henry.
Let's just talk about the violent abuse, the violent assault on a child, because that's exactly what this was.
I don't disagree with you at all, sir.
All right, sir.
We had been on, probably on stage, I was backstage for this talent night, when I was called out on stage to do this, my portion of the performance. And as the night goes, then we stop the performance and the parents get together and we have dinner and we share our thoughts and feelings on the school's future. Out, they announced me and so forth, sat down Mr. Steve Bozell, who is the father of our daughter, my daughter's April.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the father of April Bozell. I then came onto the stage and I told a joke and I said, and again, I want you to know that I don't endorse what's happening. I don't think any of it's funny. I've said one little thing that has nothing to do with being funny. When I said, you know why I'm not going to send my son to Penn State now? And I coaxed the audience, do you know? And no, they don't. Because he's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball. Ha, ha, ha. Now
That was the joke?
Yes, sir. And believe me, it got, when I had rehearsed it to a couple of members of my crew, I told it to members of my staff my company, and they found it to be very funny. So I can tell you now, I can tell you for sure it's funny, sir.
I mean, I didn't find it funny.
Well, are you sure that you don't find it funny, or are you doing what a lot of these talk show hosts do, which I've encountered? Because I've done a lot of talk shows. I've done more talk shows probably than any people, in terms of being a guest, probably any people that are listening right now. And I know that there's some talk show hosts who want to make it sound like they've got more.
Okay, let me just explain to you. I didn't find it funny. I'm not pretending like I didn't find it funny. I'm not saying that I didn't find it funny because I want people to think that I'm a, an upstanding guy. I didn't find it funny.
All right, well, that's fair enough, but I mean, I have to tell you, it's only fair for me to tell you, a lot of people I know thought it was funny.
Okay, well, to me it was awkward. And why you would tell a joke like that in front of parents and kids, you know?
Because, again, I'm not talking about the specifics of the sex act. I simply said, well, I'm not sending my kid to Penn State because my son's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball, and then...
And then the laughter is supposed to hit there.
Yes, sir. The way you write jokes, and I don't know if you're familiar with how jokes get wrote down, but you're supposed to, you have a joke, you do a punchline, you have to know exactly where the laughter will come. You give it three beats, one, two, three, so the laughter is going to die down. Then you go to another joke. That's how it does. That's how they do it.
And tell me the joke again, because what happened? They reacted badly, didn't they?
Well, I was told that I was asked to stop my performance in the middle, which was an embarrassment to me, an embarrassment to my wife, an embarrassment to my son, an embarrassment to my daughter. It was a humiliation visited upon me by a school that I support. And all I had said and all I did was I was being topical about what's in the news.
I know, but it's about sex abuse of kids, and you're at a school.
But I didn't mention sex abuse of a kid. All I said was, you want to know why my son's not going to Penn State? Because he's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball. And that's where the laugh comes. When you write down your joke, you will have, here's the setup, here's what I told, here's the laugh comes here.
So, okay. Our number is 877.
Well, if you don't understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. I still don't find it funny.
Well, I had my performance in front of all these teachers and parents cut short, and I was humiliated. That's why I'm on tonight talking to you. You don't have to find it funny, but you have to understand, you must understand how I could be humiliated.
Let me give the phone number. We can talk it out. I don't see it.
What don't you see, sir?
Well, I don't know that if you were humiliated, it wasn't something you didn't deserve. And I'm sorry. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Steve Bozell. His son, Stephen Jr., is with him. This man told a joke at a parents' night at their school, CK Corona School, for his daughter, and it did not go over well. My son, here's why I'm not telling my, what is it?
Here's why I'm not taking my kids to...
Yeah, here's why I'm not sending my kids to Penn State. My son's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball, and then...
Well, I mean, he didn't go, ha-ha. That's what it's supposed to laugh.
No, I know that. All right, 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm telling you, it's a night to remember. I'm only sorry that we weren't on Halloween night. Well, we were on Halloween night, weren't we?
Yeah, we were, but we didn't go outside.
Going outside tonight has been great. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking to Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell is in Corona, California, and we're talking about a joke that he told at a parents' night at one of the schools of his children. This is at your daughter's school, sir?
I'm sorry, Bill, did you say that again?
Where was this?
It's at my daughter's at CK Corona.
CK, okay, that's the middle school?
Yes, sir.
Now, who is Erica Dorton? I understand...
She is the principal of the school. Then that was the message was passed to me from her. She wanted me to stop... telling this joke or not continue on with the jokes I was telling.
In other words, you were up and then off again, huh?
Yes, sir. That was essentially what I found to be so, humiliating about it.
All right, well, we're taking some phone calls from people, okay?
Yes, sir.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I just want to let you know that because I don't want you to feel that some of them may disagree with you and so forth.
I understand that, but that's... If you're saying they're going to disagree with me, I mean, I'm the father of my son. I love my children. I would never do anything that would make sex abusing a child. And I don't think that's funny at all.
No, I absolutely understand that. We're talking right now about the appropriateness of this joke and whether or not you should have been taken off the stage there by Mrs. Dorton, or whatever her name is. Let's go to Ed. Hey, Ed, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Stephen Bozell.
Yeah, how you doing, Steve?
I'm good, sir. Go ahead.
All right. No, what I was saying earlier is I think the joke was hilarious, but as an entertainer, you've got to know the venue you're in and how it can, and you've also got to understand how it can be taken, regardless of what the intent was. I can see where she stopped, not to humiliate you, but just to prevent further potential embarrassment. And as an entertainer, part of the entertainment business, you're going to get the hook every now and then. You just got to be thick-skinned enough to say, you know what, it didn't go. Go on to the next one. Don't take it personal. Don't look at the humiliation.
That was it. When I was on state, right, are you an entertainer, sir?
I am. I've been in a professional position for 20 years. Put myself that way. I've gotten yays and I've gotten boos, and you just keep on going and don't worry about it.
Well, here's the thing that made me very confused about it. I've said to some friends of mine at work, and I told you, you thought it's good. And I told another joke. I said, I'm not going to use this one, but this joke was, I forget which one it was. It was, Penn State. What's the difference between Penn State and State Penn? Nothing. It's all the same in the shower, you know?
And again, funny
okay,
joke.
See, he's not laughing
what
at it.
Not, that's a funnier joke than the other joke.
What venue?
Yes, sir.
If you're talking to strictly adults and you're not in a school environment, that'd be hilarious. But you know,
I've heard you
on the radio a couple of times explaining your point of view. I want you to take a counterpoint. If you are in a adult-only entertainment bar scene, that'd be hilarious. If you're in an area where you've got sensitivities, you've got kids potentially involved, and parents who are sensitive about something, you know, I'm not going to sing rugby scenes and body bar songs in a church choir. You just got to know where you are, regardless of how.
Well, I was telling that. I didn't do that joke. Yes, sir. I didn't do that joke. I told that joke. There was a group of women who were outside.
You're trying to justify telling your baseball. He doesn't play baseball joke in a school with kids in a sensitive environment. Hilarious joke. Wrong venue. That's all.
You understand? See, I agree with Ed. Ed's making a very good point. Do you understand what he's saying?
I can't quite figure it out. What are you guys trying to say?
What we're seeing is there's kids, there's families, you know, and you're talking about a story where there was sex abuse of children.
But all I said was, what about the other one? The one where I said, what's the difference between Penn State and State Penn? In the shower, it's all the same. What about that one? Where's this positioning? There a guy there? Did you ever have people throwing wine bottles at you through chicken wire, right? Well, it's the same deal.
Not the same deal.
Why don't they put chicken wire up?
Yeah.
You've got to understand where you are. You know?
Exactly. It's the venue.
We're arguing where you told it and the situation. What, did you mean to send anybody? No, I'm a father and a grandfather. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Why didn't they put chicken wire up? They could have put chicken wire in front of me, as they do in bars, you know?
Chicken wire at a school function?
Well, you guys are talking about how, you know, there's going to be people disagreeing.
They're not going to put chicken wire up in a school function, not at a parent-teacher night. Thanks very much for your call, Ed. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, this gentleman who was he's in a bar, or played in a bar band, right?
Yeah, he says he's been a musician. And, yeah, they may have, in some of those roadhouses, they'll put chicken wire, whatever the hell they put up, to keep the people from throwing beer glasses. Do you want them to do that?
You know, I understand what you're saying, sir, and I don't find it all that funny. I don't find it all that funny when I told a perfectly good joke. The second one was perfectly good. And
the second joke might have been perfectly good. The first joke...
That gentleman said it was funny, though.
We're not even talking about whether it's funny or not. The first joke I personally didn't think was funny. The second joke I thought was pretty good, you know?
You did.
Yes, sir, I did. But the first one, but it doesn't make any difference whether I think it's funny or not. You had Erica Dorton call you up.
Hold on.
You had Erica Dorton, the principal of the school, call you up and tell you that it, you know, was not appropriate. What did you want to say, sir?
The woman that I'm talking about, Erica Dorton, everyone at the school knows is a very, there's something wrong with her. And I have recordings of her calling my home, as I've said to you, Mr. Henry, and I indicated this to you or to one member of your staff. Do you recall?
I recall you said you had recordings, yeah.
All right. If I could just play one that I've got this on my home machine. Stand by, please.
I heard breathing.
That is the woman that in question. She's called my home on two different occasions. I'll play that one more time for you, just to hear that. You hear that, sir?
Yeah, I heard it. I got to take a break. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Stephen Bozell on the line with us, and we're talking about this terrible, terrible scandal at Penn State and how it, like so many things that we do on our show, how they affect us personally. Mr. Bozell, you are with your son, and I know you love your son and you love your daughter and your family. You've taken the news story, the Penn State news story, and you've put it into a comedy routine that you were doing for your daughter's school. Was it a family night?
You got to say that again, Mr. Hendry.
Was that a family night you were at?
Yeah, it was a parents' talent night.
Parents' talent night. And you put into this parents' talent night a joke about Penn State.
Well, but I didn't say anything specifically about sex organs. See, this is the thing that I think they're missing, and the thing that I think your listeners... I didn't talk about touching a kid. I was saying two jokes specifically. Well, my son's not going to Penn State. He's a pitcher. He's not a catcher. You know... He plays baseball. And then the other one was, what's the difference between Penn State and State Penn? In the shower? Nothing. That one is as they say in show business, they'll call them different things. That they call that gold in show business.
And that's gold. Maybe it is gold, but in front of parents? In front of kids?
Erica Dorton, the one that was breathing into my phone, is the only one that found fault with it and embarrassed me in front of my family because she wanted to pull a power play.
The principal, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll go to Austin. Austin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Man, when I heard your joke, I literally heard my son's not going to go to Penn State because he doesn't like to get sexually abused in the shower by trusted authority figures. You didn't have to say anything about the actual sexual nature of what was going on with that, but it was implied in the joke. We all know that pitching and catching is slang terms for gay sex.
Yes, sir, but nobody breaks it down the way you did. No one sits there and goes, let me analyze this joke before I laugh at it. See, that's it.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. What the gentleman is saying is there's a certain...
No, sir. Nobody breaks a joke down, Mr. Ernie goes, let me analyze that joke before I think it's good, or whatever you want to say.
You do analyze the joke. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Yeah. No problem, gentlemen, you see what I'm saying?
That's exactly what I heard when I heard the joke, man. It was in poor taste. Maybe I'm smarter than the average comedy listener, but when I heard the joke, I mean, that's exactly what I heard. It was a bad joke in front of the wrong audience. Your second joke was pretty funny, but it wasn't appropriate for the audience. You don't tell a joke like that at a school. I mean, plain and simple.
I understand.
I agree with Phil.
Well, you got to understand, though, and I don't think Mr. Hendry, I appreciate very much your opinion, but I've got Dale Doninger in the audience. I've got a number of people who work the Ice House in Pasadena. I was hoping that I'd maybe get, a spot at the Ice House. And
so you mean professional scouts?
Well, people who work some clubs, yeah.
Well, I don't know that you are going to endear yourself to those people.
Not if I get pulled off the stage like I'm some kind of punk. That's what happened to me. I got treated, you got to understand something, I got treated like a two-bit punk by the headmistress of a middle school.
Yeah, I got to throw something in here real quick, Phil.
Go ahead.
Dude, a part of your job as a comedian, I mean, you have to be able to get into your audience, right? I mean, you want to be a professional comedian or at least a novice getting paid to do it. You have to be able to read your audience. The fact is you misread your audience. I I can't believe that I can't believe that the only person in the audience that was offended by your joke was the principal. I have a feeling that a lot of people were kind of upset about it because it's just not a joke you tell in front of kids and all that when everybody knows the story and it is sexual in nature, that by referencing it, you are therefore putting sex abuse into your joke.
Yeah. I think both you and Mr. Andre, I think you guys need to work on your sense of humor because...
No, we're not talking about our sense of humor. We're talking about knowing what, you know, nothing is funny to me if I realize that I've hurt somebody or I'm talking about hurtful things. I can't, you know...
I didn't hurt anybody other than this Norton. Do you think it's appropriate that a teacher at a school, sir, calls me up late at night and breathes into my phone?
All right. Anyway, thank you very much for your call, sir. I appreciate it.
It was Austin.
Yeah. Thanks so much, sir. You
cut me off. As I was mentioning, that Erica Dorton has, on a number of occasions, called my home and has not said anything into the phone. She's just breathed into the phone. I find that very creepy. And
we can talk about that, and we can discuss that in terms of what effect it has on this topic, because these sound like two different topics. Because the woman's breathing into the phone, there may be something wrong with her. There's no question about it, but I don't think she made the wrong decision there. Here is Josh. Josh, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Appreciate the time. When you look at any professional comedian, a professional comedian sees the demographic that he's in front of and makes his material based upon the demographic that he's in front of. At what point in time did you ever assume that the demographic you were in front of, which I don't know the age group of the children, whether it be teenagers or preteens or whatever the case may be, how could you have any idea that making an underlying tone towards a gay slur would be an appropriate joke?
It's a very good question.
Okay, and it is a good question. Yes, there were preschoolers there, but the joke was intended. There were preschoolers as well as regular elementary school kids, but the joke was intended for people 16 years of age and older. That's what I'm understanding. If you read any of the comedy manuals,
then why would you?
Because there were parents. Because there were people at people were there that age too, and I wanted to kind of let them know that I'm not lame. In other words, what I was trying to say was, I wanted to let them know that I'm not some guy that does kids' birthday parties. That I'm a legitimate comedian. So that was my way.
You're at a school.
What?
So you're at a school. So your material should be based on a preschool level or a middle school level so that you can have an association with your crowd. You don't immediately jump ahead and choose to take an adult topic. It's something taboo that you stay away from. When you see a comedian that say he's African-American, he makes black jokes to associate with the crowd and make fun of himself and stuff like that. You don't make underlying tones for gay activities in front of a bunch of preschoolers.
If a preschooler was on stage telling jokes, what you're saying, it would have been appropriate for a preschooler to talk about being touched by an adult. That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't make any sense for an adult to talk to a preschooler about gay activity.
But I wasn't.
What do you mean when you say, Steve, that you were talking to the adults there?
Because I was talking to the adults to let them know that I'm not lame and doing kid parties. I can do real comedy.
So you told that joke as a way of what? Breaking the ice up?
Letting them know that I can do adult humor, yeah.
Well, that's when you do it at the open mic night on Friday. That's when that joke would have been appropriate on open mic night on Friday because you would have been around a 21 and up crowd that were having drinks and having a good time. It wouldn't be the 4-year-old pigtails in the front counter, in the front row saying, what's a pitcher and a catcher when they ask mommy and daddy? And they have to come up with an idea to tell the child, you know, and
if you see a preschooler in the front row saying, what's a pitcher and a catcher? Well, you know what I did, and I guess you gentlemen will find fault with this, but children do this all the time. I turned around and I pointed to my butt.
Well, how is that appropriate at all?
Kids do that all the time, sir.
They do it all the time. When they're talking about little kid stuff, they're not talking about...
Well, the gentleman's laughing, see? Are you not laughing, sir?
I'm sorry to say, but a full-grown man talking about a pitcher and a catcher, and when he says catcher, he points to his rear end in front of a bunch of children.
Yeah.
you're trying to say that you are breaking the ice and not making an association, that the caller beforehand was breaking it down in simplest terms, yet you just used a prop as your body part to talk about a catcher.
Because the little girl would ask, as you said, and
there's no reason in the world why you should have to explain that to a child ever, because the joke shouldn't have been told in any venue where there is a kid.
Well, you know, again, I'm a professional. And
are you a professional comic, or are you trying to break into it?
I'm trying to. I'm more professional. Are you a professional comic? No. Is the gentleman on the phone? No.
And I'm a talk show host.
Okay. I'm doing this to try to break into comedy.
And you're doing it in front of kids. So when the little girl asks, what's a catcher? The little girl asked, what's a catcher?
You would turn and point to your butt and laugh. That's what the manuals, all the comedy manuals, would say.
Yeah, but when does a comedy manual ever strictly point and say that this is going to be your demographic, a bunch of preschoolers with their parents on, teacher night or whatever?
Well, they talk about making children laugh, and they say that the most reliable joke for a kid, obviously, is a fart joke. Any joke having to do with boogers, all that.
Well, I don't know how you professionally...
You need professional advice if you're going to do a clown show.
All right, listen, thank you very much for your call, sir. I appreciate it. That is Josh calling. Thanks, Josh. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
The thing of it is, Mr. Henry, that I don't think you get is that if you are going to do a clown act...
When you say a clown act, what do you mean?
I mean for children.
A children's birthday party?
Yes. And you take a look at any of the standard comedy manuals that are out there right now, and the Bible of all stand-up comedy joke books is Bergen's. They've got a reprint in 1999-2000. But Bergen's is a standard manual.
What is this, Bergen's?
Yeah, it tells you about jokes and how to do it. And they tell you, if you're going to be in front of kids... If you're going to do a kid birthday party, the whole chapter, booger jokes, you know.
Booger jokes.
boy, that hurts.
Is he hung up?
Let me get him back.
I think he did.
Oh, my God. You know, is he kidding? Bergen's is the standard manual. If you're going to work a kid's birthday party, booger jokes and fart jokes. I guess so. Can you imagine a guy having to consult a comedy manual, though, to make kids laugh? I mean, that's probably the easiest thing there is in the world. Make a kid laugh. Stephen Bozell on the line with us. He's talking about his joke that did not go over well. This is not the first time Mr. Bozell has had this problem. He's also got a problem with the schoolmaster there. Her name is Erica Dorton, someone that he says has called his home late at night breathing into the phone. This is a middle school teacher, a middle school principal. The joke was told in front of a bunch of parents at a middle school. My kid's not going to Penn State because he's a pitcher, not a catcher. He plays baseball, ha-ha. And the other joke was, what's the difference between Penn State and the state pen? In the shower, there is no difference. I don't think either joke is all that gut-wrenchingly funny, and I don't see anything funny about the situation. 877-876-PHIL is the number. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to be right back with more from Stephen Bozell. And more coming up tonight on Herman Cain. A possible debate between Ted Bell and, what's his name? Who's the guy?
Jim Sadler.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Jim Sadler. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Mr. Bozell, it should be noted, has been driving with his son. And I asked you that your son not listen to the broadcast, and he has not been listening, correct?
As far as I know, no, he has not. Stephen, I told him no, that he should not. I know he has his own iPod or whatever you got. But we're traveling through the Anza-Borrega Desert right now, Mr. Enner. It's a very beautiful drive in the daytime. It's very dark here at night.
Will you be very careful, okay? Because I know parts of that highway are two-lane.
Oh, we're doing fine. We should be making, probably make Corona will probably make Corona about an hour. So we're good.
All right. All right, number 877-876-PHIL. Mr. Bozell, I know you're a good father. I know you love your kids. But the appropriateness of your joke, and we have a lady on the line now. Is it Robin? Robin, is that your name?
Yes.
Robin took exception to this whole pointing to the butt thing. Go ahead, Robin, and tell us what you think.
Well, me personally, I don't have children, but if I did have a child, even I don't believe it was appropriate about the butt thing being on, you know, pointing to it as being a catcher. I didn't catch the joke at all. I didn't find it funny. But if I did have a child that was either in preschool, middle school, or high school, I don't think that was appropriate. Some people may look at it like that, some people not. I look at it that, you know, me personally, I would take it as being like perversion, like very pervertness of somebody pointing at their, you know, being a catcher. I don't understand that.
Well, ma'am, understand, please. Can I, Mr. Andrew?
Go ahead.
I'm not, the pervertness of it is not so much that, you know, I think it would be more pervert if I had stood up there and said, hey, kids, if a man wants to touch your butt, you know, like that kind of thing, I'd never do anything like that. But the little girl looked up at me and she goes, what's a catcher? So I laughed and I pointed to my butt.
Right, but that's letting the little girl too much information.
TMI. Because, I mean, I don't know what's going on with the Penn State ordeal. I haven't heard, but I'm listening to this and I'm catching. I guess it's about, like, gay, being gay or something. But, I mean...
Well, no.
Well, what happened? I'll tell Robin, let me tell you, Robin, let me tell you what happened. Is that there was a Penn State coach that I guess is involved with kids off campus. You know, Penn State's college students, but these are underage kids. This guy's been accused of sexually abusing children. He's a Penn State assistant football coach.
And I think anybody that has followed the Nittany Lions, Joe Paterno, we feel betrayed. And I'm trying to just take a little of the pressure off of the Nittany Lion faithful and just, you know, have a couple of laughs, point to your butt, go, you know, that's what the man did.
Yeah, maybe. The other guy said something about, like, at a bar on a Friday night for older crowds. Some people might have found that hilarious in front of children, even at a high school. You know, some people, I mean, me as a, if I was a parent, I would have took that very offensive.
Yeah, really.
Can I ask you, like, I have a lady, this lady, ma'am, could I ask you, I have the Erica Dorton tape, if I could play it one more time. This woman called my home, who's the headmistress of the middle school, and this, and play the tape now, and this is what I heard. That's exactly correct. I said, hello, is this you, Erica? And all I heard was just this breathing, and I knew it was her. And now what is she doing? Now she's telling me I can't tell a joke about, you know, pointing at my butt, but she's breathing into my phone.
You know what? I don't know that woman that I want to talk about, I don't know. How do you know that's her?
Oh, I know it is.
I mean, well, the viewers, the people who are listening to this show or whatever can't say if that's the principal of a school or not. They're just going by what you're saying.
Well, ma'am, I mean, figure it out. She's telling me one day that I can't tell no, you know, butt joke, and the next night I hear, you know, that on my phone. I'm sure it's her trying to intimidate me into not telling no jokes.
Trying to intimidate you into not telling? How is she going to do that? Listen, Robin, thank you very much, Robin, for your call. Appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. How is she going to intimidate you into not telling jokes?
If she calls my home, how can she intimidate me? Did you hear that? She calls my home and told me, no, don't eat those. Don't eat the big hunk till we get home. Hold on, Phil. Don't eat the big hunk till we get home. My son, we got two big hunks and we got two big daddies. I want the big daddy. Oh, boy, that's great. You said I could have the big daddy.
Okay, what's going on?
My son ain't... We got two big hunks, we got two big daddies. I hate big daddies because they pull my teeth right out of my head. They're made out of caramel. I don't like them, but I do like the big hunks. They're made out of taffy. So my son wants the big daddy and the big hunk. And so I said, let's get the big hunk and the big daddy. And he gave me this really weird look, like, yeah, wouldn't you like that? Something like that. I mean, Steve Jr., why'd you say that?
I don't like that.
Yeah, he thought me saying, let's go get a big hunk and a big daddy, that I was doing some more Penn State jokes. And I've never slapped my son in my life. In my entire life, Mr. Henry, I've never slapped my son. But I felt so much like I wanted to slap his head, slap and slap till the head come free.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a really great instinct, I must say.
I didn't do it, sir.
You have instincts that are really off the charts, man, you know. You have instincts about telling jokes in front of kids. You have an instinct to slap a kid's head off his shoulders. You know, so the kid made a joke. You're talking about pointing at your butt.
Yeah, I didn't say, you want to go get a big hunk and a big daddy? Oh, wow, you got a one-track mind. That's basically what my son said.
Your son said you got a one-track mind.
Well, that's what he was saying, or what he was trying to say. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Now he's there sucking on a big daddy. You want me to say something about that to him? That people don't want me to make these connections? Okay.
You know what? The fact that you make that connection is really sick. I think you need to call that school also and tell Mrs. Dorton that you've been on the air talking about her, mentioning her name, and saying that she breathes into your phone.
Oh, you think she's going to sue me?
Yeah, she could. She could have grounds to sue you for libel.
For what?
Libel.
How do you spell that?
Get out of here. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Ted Bell and Dr. Jim Sadler next hour.
Phil Henry.